Thank you, Sara. It's a quiet honor and pleasure to be at Harvard, in this place which I have been for many times before at. It's not easy, to be at this part of the world talking about what's going at what I call it Gaza, the forgotten place from God's face, the other side of the moon.
We're going to switch mics just because this one is clear.
Gaza, 365 square kilometers. Living in it, 1.8 million Palestinian people. For many, many years, it has been closed, sealed, sieged, suffocated, land and the sea and the crossings, and no one can go in or out. No goods can move in and out, and it's rather mission impossible. That situation, which as our friend Amira Hass long, long time ago wrote in her book, Lishtot Miyam Azza, to drink from Gaza Sea, mentioned, and I do fully agree and I do endorse that, that this siege began effectively from 1991. I do remember the day that the checkpoint was first put at Erez checkpoint, when there was two, three soldiers, there, randomly checking the cars. And this began to build up day after day to have almost like state crossing when you come to Erez nowadays. That siege effectively began 20 years ago, worked like a snowball. 5 years ago, when President Abbas was elected and everybody anticipated sort of ease of the situation. Actually, what had happened between January 2006 and January 2007, more and more suffocation for the entire Palestinian population in the Gaza Strip. And since Hamas took over, and the quartet issued a few days later, the 29th of January 2007, the statement boycotting Hamas government, really strangling of the Palestinian civilians began at that part of the world. If you are a farmer and you want to have fertilization for your farm, it's rather mission impossible to import it. And it's rather mission impossible to export any product you having as a farmer. If you are industrialist and you have factory and you want to bring raw material to be manufactured in Gaza to be exported afterwards, that's rather mission impossible to do it. If you are a student and you want to go to complete your study in any university, that's also rather mission impossible to do it. If you are sick, or somebody for you sick, for example, cancer and need develop medical care, chemotherapy or something else, it's almost rather mission impossible either to bring in or out the medicine or to go for a treatment, even if you pay yourself for that. If you want to build a house, that's Mission Impossible. Construction material, Mission Impossible to bring it in. This is with time turned Gaza to be a place like a hell. I don't mean with that. 62% unpaid or unemployed, and about 90% of the population under poverty line. So not only that, they receive rations from UNRWA, World Food Program, and other resources. We have first class farmers community. We have first class skilled good workers, and we have first class business community with good capital. We do have one of the most high percent of the university graduates in the world. With all that, we are a nation of beggars. We shifted to be nation of beggars, international community, making a great shame by dumping some food and medicine to the civilian population and making this place first class, a human-made disaster by the fact this Israeli belligerent criminal occupation do hold accountable 1.8 million people who are supposed to be the protected civilians under international law, international humanitarian law, precisely under the 4th Geneva Convention. This is one of the big shames of the international community at the 21st century. This is continuing and going on and on and on, and the mentality almost has been normalized. Like this is, I mean, something we don't discuss, we are not going to look at. Occasionally, a voice here, a voice there, statement here, statement there, suggesting that this siege should end. With no exception, all international human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, ICJ, Euromed Human Rights Network, and all UN human rights body, and most important of all those, the guardian of the international humanitarian law and the 4th Geneva Convention, the ICRC, is stated in a clear-cut way. This is illegal, this is inhumane, and this is collective punishment, and this should end, not partially, but completely. And we still facing this weird conspiracy of silence of those who speak repeatedly about rule of law, democracy, human rights, protection of civilians, etc. So, this is ongoing a crime, unforgettable and unforgivable. And Gazans do suffer as no other nation on earth do suffer. Nobody should understand with that Gazans are starving. Nobody is starving in Gaza. Nobody lack of food. No one sleep without dinner. We are denied basic, fundamental human rights. And after years and years and years of this belligerent occupation, after 63 years of the Nakba, And after almost 20 years of Oslo Accords, we are talking about right of movement, right of life, right of medical care, right of education, basic. And talking about other rights, like end of the occupation, statehood, that's, you know, like very intellectual practice. One of Harvard clinics can deal with it. Israel didn't satisfy with suffocating Gaza socially and economically. But they launched the war against Gaza. On day-to-day basis, before CAST led, Gaza was targeted. Assassinations on the daylight, legitimized fully by the Israeli High Court. Incursions, where they are not just getting to one part of Gaza, north or east, but tanks get in with bulldozers, uprooting entire streets with the infrastructure in it, electricity, sewage system, telephone system, and the road itself. House demolition, very systematic. And sometimes all that goes together, raising farms, even the trees, they kill it. I didn't see an army on earth targeting trees. They are not killing human beings only. And they are not cutting the trees per se, like olives. They uproot it to guarantee it's not going to grow again in that part of the world. December 2008, it wasn't the first war crime Israel committed, definitely. I can tell you about hundreds of war crimes that have been committed years and years before that, legally documented, controlled, and dealt with. But in 27th of December 2008, something unique, special had happened. Israel launched a war called Casted. In the eye of the storm, Palestinian civilians and Palestinian civilian targets. And this war didn't happen, 5 minutes or in 5 days. It lasted between 27th of December and 18th of January. Farms razed, 92 mosques destroyed, and some of it while people were praying. Police stations, civilian police stations, has been targeted, and within 2-3 minutes, like 183 people has been killed. Hospitals targeted, hospitals for elderly has been targeted and bombarded, and ordinary hospitals has been targeted. Ambulances, you can be in the worst position because something like 62 ambulances has been targeted at the time, and many of them has been killed. Patients and nurses. Universities has been targeted, as will public offices like parliament and universities. The list is so long. As a result of that, all international human rights organizations, with no exception whatsoever, wrote in a very clear-cut way that there were crimes against humanity perpetrated against Palestinian civilians. We submitted, after documenting all these war crimes, which requires you have to submit it in 60 days, otherwise it's with no existence. If the Israeli military prosecutor didn't receive the complaint. So within 60 days, from day one of the war, we have to submit that. And all these were supported with evidences, the complaint, and ask to open an investigation in it with our readiness to give all needed evidence and cooperation in this regard. We submitted like 490 files related to crimes perpetrated against Palestinian civilians. Those who gave us the power of attorney to represent them and to act on behalf of them to bring justice. And I'm telling some examples. Samoni family, which was instructed by the Israeli army after destroying some houses here and there for them and raising their farms, to be in one place, in one house, upon the Israeli army instructions. Few days after, the tanks of the Israeli army bombarded and the artillery bombarded the house. And as a result of that, 23, within seconds, have been killed. Unlucky 3 children stayed alive. And as a result of that, the ICRC tried for days to get to the place. And they were able to do that after 5 days only. So that these lucky or unlucky 3 children kept alive after they were between the parts of their moms and dads and uncles and brothers and sisters, and they were literally, swimming in their blood. Daya family, F-16, within seconds, F-16 jet fighter dropped 985 kilos missile, 22 members vanished on the spot. All these and more stories can be told, including targeting a quarter of UNRWA, where the strategic storage of medicine and food for the Gaza Strip lies. At the time, Ban Ki-moon was meeting with the Israeli Minister of Defense in Tel Aviv. Fakhura School, UNRWA designated it as a place where they are sheltering the Palestinians whom their houses has been destroyed in the northern area, and they have no home to stay at, no place to stay at, and UNRWA took care of them and put them there, and they gave with the GPS the allocation of the place as it has been agreed with the Israeli army. Though this has been bombarded, many has been killed. Out of the 490 complaints, 2.5 years after, we know about one case, and Israeli has been held accountable for stealing credit card during the war. And another one with the same accusation was acquitted because the witnesses were not able to come from Gaza. There is a third person in the Israeli army has been held accountable for using a human shield. He was sentenced to a few months. That's all the count. Goldstone report didn't really add anything new related to facts, standards, conclusions. He just was repetitive with all that to what all international human rights organizations said before, stated before, investigated before. But in this report, there was a new two dimensions. A, time frame. B, implementation mechanism. The time frame stated within 6 months, both parties, the Israeli and the Palestinian, should hold accountable any of those who were suspected of committing war crime. And they have to do national jurisdiction to investigate on the national level. And that's addressed to both Israel and the PA. Two, if this doesn't work completely or partially, this report should be referred simply to the Security Council, and from there should depart to the ICC. More than 2.5 years, nothing moved in this regard. Of course, we have no holy blood. We are Palestinian. We deserved. Now, in a few days, supposedly, this is going to be discussed at the General Assembly in New York. And what we are seeking as Palestinians, simple, very simple. We are seeking justice. We do represent our clients. We want to see rule of law, not the rule of jungle. International law, international humanitarian law, it's not a Palestinian Gaza invention. It's the creme de la creme of the human experience. And after the Second World War, after more than 85 million civilians, including Jews and the Holocaust, suffered from that, the world said, civilians should be protected at the time of war. And that's why we tried all the way long to remind everybody under occupation there is a protected people. Civilians should be protected. Palestinians should be protected. And we resorted to the rule of law. We filed our complaints either to the Israeli military prosecutor, as the law applies, within the limit of time stated in the law, and in the Israeli court system. On the March this year, there was an expert committee came to evaluate what the Palestinian and the Israeli did. And they concluded that the General Assembly of the UN should refer this report to the Security Council in order to go to the ICC and to be investigated. But we are not Qaddafi, we are not the Libyans, neither the Sudanese. In the Qaddafi case, it took 72 hours to do the whole thing, to refer the file to the ICC. In our case, we have to be very careful because, as US and Europe say, the civilized, the learned, the qualified bodies, we have to victimize rule of law, democracy, and human rights for the sake of peace and security. Right now, more than 20 years, every time we speak about rule of law, about democracy, about human rights, don't talk about that. This should be victimized for the sake of peace and security, as if peace and security in full contradiction of rule of law, democracy, and human rights. It's Kafka. The result after all these years, horrible. This is the situation in Gaza. I mean, we are talking about very basic, very fundamental ABC human rights. And I want to remind everyone that Oslo Accords stated in a clear-cut way. Palestinian state should be concluded in May 4th, 1999. We are ahead of that 12 years. Who cares? Nobody talking about even the occupation anymore. Nobody talking about an end for this belligerent occupation anymore. Nobody talking about the state anymore. And we have to be good victims for the sake of peace and security, which never have been achieved. Maybe Gazans do deserve that. Genetically, they are bad. And they are evil. And what's going against them will deserve. What about the West Bank? Jerusalem? Ethnic cleansing going in it for Palestinians through different ways, levels, and means. Legal, administrative, practical, procedural, whatever, name it. Judaization of Jerusalem on very day-to-day basis, I can assure you, nothing left to be negotiated. Israel ruled out the status of Jerusalem de facto through the fait accompli policy they are doing. Most important court on earth gave advisory opinion. 15 judges. None of them Gazan or Palestinian. And they said, this wall consists of a crime. It shouldn't be stopped. It should be abolished. This is totally illegal, and it consists of a crime. Who cares? In a few months, this annexation apartheid wall going to finish. Another 500,000 Palestinians will be denied access to their land, and another time refugees. And another piece of the Palestinian land being taken completely and annexed. Settlements cross the West Bank. Every day, flourishing, expanding vertically, horizontally, new settlements are built. And everybody talking about natural growth of settlers, natural growth of very, very war crime and war criminals, not according to our standards, according to international recognized standards, according to IHL, according to the 4th Geneva Convention. It's not only flourishing, new settlements are built. Even Jordan Valley, which was abandoned for a long period of time, the settlements activities in it unprecedented and going with a speed rocket. All that, all these settlements connected with the Israeli cities through what's called bypass roads. It doesn't only connect Israeli settlements with Israel. It's ghettoizing, Bundistaning in strategical terms, not allowing to expand by any meaning Israeli, Palestinian villages, camps, and cities, and disconnecting south from the north, Jerusalem from West Bank, and making movement in entire West Bank rather mission impossible. The whole world know one prisoner, though he was arrested in a tank during ambush inside Gaza Strip in military resistance operation. Gilad Shalit. 9,600 Palestinian prisoners inside the Israeli prisons. At some stage, there was 47 of them, Legislative Council members, including the speakers. All of them in administrative detention, meaning you are arrested for 6 months renewable with no charges or evidences or a trial, and renewable up to 7 years. It's not an issue. 47 elected Palestinian members of the parliament. Torture, legal, endorsed. Male treatment to the prisoners, that on day-to-day basis is not an issue. Many died lack of medical care. Many don't receive family visits, some of them 7 years. It's not an issue. So basic fundamental rights, even for prisoners who are illegally detained and unjustified, most of their arrests. Incursion to West Bank, cities, villages, and camps, that's the day-to-day practice. House demolition, very today practice. Putting all these almost 700 roadblocks. I don't mean roadblocks, a few soldiers sitting somewhere in the street. No, it's almost institutionalized. Making movement for goods and individual rather mission impossible in the West Bank. West Bank, where President Abbas and the PA stay in Ramallah, where President Abbas has been stated by United States, Europe, and Israel, the man who is committed for peace and two-state solution, and he's the real partner after the criminal Arafat, who represented the Palestinian people, who was elected by the Palestinian people, who was sieged, humiliated, bombarded, and killed. I said, President Abbas is a fantastic partner. What's happening under President Abbas' leadership in the West Bank? Simple, de facto apartheid system. That's the nitty-gritty conclusion. Any would like to see what's going at that part of the world happening. So if the state in Gaza, state of social economical suffocation because of the siege, because of the criminal siege, what's happening in Jerusalem and the West Bank, really bad and ugly and unacceptable at all, and it's by default going to abolish any possibility of the two-state solution due to the Israeli government's by building, expanding settlements, and by doing this ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem for Palestinian civilians. Once and again, this is the harvest of absolute wrong policies towards the occupied territories, towards Israel, towards rule of law and human rights at that part of the world. President Abbas stated almost a week ago in the front of the General Assembly that Palestine seeks membership at the UN. Of course, all of us in Palestine, I think from the wall to wall with no exception, positively shocked and loved what President Abbas said. A, he stated facts as it is, and I think he gave eloquent human rights speech there, and he was very direct to the results. And as somebody who committed all his life, all the way long, for peace, he concluded in simple words, enough is enough. We cannot tolerate that anymore. Of course, the state is our goal. Because that's, the ultimate result. When you have the end of the occupation, and when you have the self-determination for Palestinian people. But this is not going to work, definitely, for technical reasons. We know all that U.S. going to veto that. President Obama, who promised September 2010, within 1 year, Palestinians should achieve their statehood, declined, regretted, apologized, and he said Palestinians don't have the right, to ask for Palestinian state. This is something Israel should give to them. They cannot take it. I don't know why this has been stated in international law. Self-determination. It should be stated in the Palestinian case, Israeli determination to give or not to give Palestinians any rights. The Europeans are worse. Some of them suggested to President Abbas, if you really want the state, we can deal with that, no problem, through the General Assembly, and you can have state status with no membership. But conditioned on 1 and 2. You have to give up vis-a-vis Goldstone report, and you have to commit yourself not to join ICC. Which is, once and again, instead of encouraging the Palestinians of being in their own state, committed to human rights and rule of law, encouraging them to violate it and to give up the rights of their own victims. Instead of encouraging PA to go and ratify or recognize international human rights treaties, they pressuring on the second direction. Sooner or later, this will happen. And I would say, and everybody agree with me, the uploading for the President Abbas after his speech was voting by the international community for the Palestinian state, for the self-determination against the occupation itself. It's for rule of law against rule of jungle. But it seems in very clear, obvious way, U.S. and Israel put themselves in the side of rule of jungle. The siege, sort of institutionalization of weaknesses of the Palestinians. It's not only suffocating them, it's weakening them. It's dividing them. It's not allowing even Palestinians to dream of Gaza West Bank being once again together, though also according to states in Article 1, Gaza West Bank, one integrated zone. The division enhanced with the siege, with the continuity of the siege. So Israel and the occupation through this criminal siege, they are not collectively punishing civilians. They institutionalizing the weakness and the division of the Palestinian people. We have no reason to be divided, at least on the political level. I think it is one of our Palestinian shames that we have this division. I think it's very real and serious reason to be weak, to be divided. In the history of the Palestinian political struggle, none of the Palestinian factions was religious. I mean, the 16 factions of the PLO, all of them, either national, pan-Arab, leftist, Marxist, but none of them, I mean, was religious at any time, at any stage. With this ongoing struggle where religion became as a dimension, we had that. Hamas and Jihad Islamic, whether we like it or not, they are part of us, part of the Palestinian people, part of the Palestinian political structure. They are not gangsters, they are not individuals. They are part of the Palestinian struggle against the occupation. And this division, of course, it's Palestinian mistake, but it has been encouraged very seriously. And parties has been pressured very deeply not to reconcile. I think since May, things going in the right direction. And I believe that soon we will conclude reconciliation. It was very obvious the determination of Abu Mazen, our president at the UN, that he is going to continue with that. And if there is any reason in the past not to do it, I think we have to witness in the coming couple of months re-reconciliation between Palestinian people and factions. Of course, what I stated, tough, hard, challenging, it's the worst situation ever in our Palestinian political history, but hard times pushes either or, to stand for a challenge or to give up. We have no right to give up. And as the Americans say, one day we shall overcome. Thank you.